Number two of the drive underway from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Rick Butler in with the top four at four. Rick.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Leading things off today, Glenn Gilbo has a report from the Lafayette Daily Advertiser, and here's what it says. The LSU
Lafayette. Please.
Lafayette. There you go. The LSU baseball coach search is down to three finalists. Number one, Arizona coach Jay Johnson. Number two, East Carolina coach Cliff Godwin. And number three, a previously unnamed candidate, Notre Dame coach Link Jarrett. You can notice one of the names not on that list, Tony Vitello.
Sir Anthony of House Vitello, one step closer to being locked up as Tennessee's head coach for many years to come. Now, as we all breathe a sigh of relief over that, any thoughts on who LSU should hire from that trio? I thought they should have gone all in on Bianco from Ole Miss, but what do I know?
No, I'm kind of with you on that one. I really thought that's what they were going to lean towards, especially if Tony Vitello is not going to be in play. I don't know. The unnamed candidate from Notre Dame now, Link Jarrett, it fascinates me his name has been thrown
in. Yeah, they were good. They were one game away from the College World Series, lost at Mississippi State. Obviously, Arizona made it this year. East Carolina had, they were playing Vanderbilt in Super Regional in Nashville. And you look at a guy from East Carolina. You look at a guy from East Carolina and think, well, that's you got to be a pretty good coach to get them playing at that kind of level.
Sure, no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not Vitello,
I'm sure it's somebody we'll hate for years to come.
No doubt about it. All right, here we go. Number two, the 10 matchups for the 2022 Big 12 SEC Challenge has been announced today, and it looks like Tennessee is going to be headed to the Lone Star State, guys. Rick Barnes spent 17 seasons at the University of Texas. He will go back coming up this season, as it looks like Tennessee and Texas have been matched up for the basketball SEC Big 12 Challenge.
I love it, man. And I don't know what Texas has coming back. We've got Aaron Torres on, who's a college basketball expert, so I'm sure he'll be able to tell us a little bit more about what Chris Beard will have in his inaugural season in Austin.
Yeah, man.
But that's got to be an interesting homecoming for Rick Barnes. I'm sure there'll be a fun storyline to follow for that game.
Here are a couple more fun storylines.
What kind of reception do you think Rick Barnes gets?
Good.
Great,
honestly.
He should get a very warm welcome, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think it's any kind of situation where – and granted, he was kind of forced out, right? Would you say of Texas?
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely
forced out.
So I would say that if you got really no rivalries tied in, if that's – Tennessee and Texas have not – had any strong battles that I can think about on the basketball court, I really feel like they should give a very welcoming reception.
Very Fulmery type thing that happened to him. Let's just hope they don't hire him as athletics director down there a little bit later. But as far as the way his coaching tenure ended, it had a similar vibe.
Tennessee and Texas have met six times on the basketball court with the series deadlocked at 3-3. You got two more Texas connections here. Victor Bailey Jr. Grew up in Austin and graduated from McNeil High School. And then associate head coach Michael Schwartz played for Barnes at Texas and later spent 4 years on his staff there.
Huh. And as everybody knows, if it weren't for the great state of Tennessee, Texas would simply be northern Mexico.
Let them know. All right, here we go, number three. How about some NBA lottery action?
Oh.
Last night we have found out who will have the top three, top five, top 10. I believe it went all the way up to top 14 picks of this year's NBA draft. And here is your order for the top 10 of the NBA draft coming up this year. Number one, Detroit. Following them will be Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, Orlando. It's your top five. Going on from there. Number six, Oklahoma City, then Golden State by way of Minnesota, Orlando by way of Chicago, Sacramento, and New Orleans. That rounds out your top 10. And then here's something interesting to note. Orlando and Golden State, the only teams in that top 14 lottery to have two picks coming up next year.
The Detroit Pistons are on the clock, and Cade Cunningham
seems that way.
Seems to be the pick from Oklahoma State.
I don't even know who a second would be that people have been talking about. It just seems like it's only been Cunningham for a while.
Well, and also wondering where Keon Johnson is going to go there.
Oh, okay. So let's look. He's typically projected around 6 to 8, right? So Oklahoma City, Golden State.
I'm looking at
not Orlando, please.
I'm looking at a mock draft on Yahoo right now that has him going 11th to the Hornets.
Ugh.
See if I don't know about that. They've got Jaden Springer going 16th to Oklahoma City.
Interesting. I feel like he's rising a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a little bit of a rise for him.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, call me crazy, but I think that'd be a great spot for him. I read an article online the other day about how Oklahoma City is kind of a launching pad because they always end up with all these draft picks, and then the guys don't want to stay in Oklahoma City, and then they trade him. And they've got just I can't remember the exact number, but they've got just an obscene amount of, like, first-round draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, they've had Westbrook, Durant, Harden, Ibaka. Steven Adams is still there, isn't he?
I believe he's with New Orleans.
He's with the Pelicans.
I mean, he's not playing right now.
So I mean
Billy Donovan's still out there, correct? I mean, I don't follow the NBA at all. I'm assuming Billy Donovan's still the head coach out there, right? No?
No, he quit there last year. But
I mean, it just seems like, you know, it's not in the spot that you go out there and work on some stuff that I think, if we're all honest, he needs to work on to be able to make it.
So I think there's a pretty good chance of Keon Johnson being the number one SEC player drafted overall as well. According to ESPN, they got a mock draft here of him going to Orlando by way of Chicago and then going down a little bit trying to find our other guy.
I saw him going 29th. There's somewhere down the late 20s to the Suns.
That's it right there. 29 to the Suns.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Be a good roster to be a part of.
I like that very much.
Learn from Chris Paul.
All right, and then here we go. Last but not least, number 4. Guys, Peyton Manning debuted a brand new game show on NBC last night. It's actually a revival of an old game show called College Bowl. I think we might get into this a little bit later, but it was the number 2 highest rated show on TV last night. Seems like it got a pretty good warm reception. I know that I think Bear might have watched some of it. I know I watched some
of
it.
Yeah, it was.
But hey, it was Manning doing big things.
Just absolutely the most surreal thing I've ever watched because it came off like a really funny SNL skit. And because that's my only other reference point for Peyton on TV is that, you know, when he did the SNL thing. And it was really awkward. The kid that was doing all the talking from Alabama, if you look up a caricature of how, you know, a Bammer talks, it'd be this kid. Well, Peyton. Will Pikes.
It was.
And it was just.
Yeah.
It was weird. And the kids were just really odd.
Was it good?
In kind of a car crash kind of way.
Yeah.
It was just. It was cringy at times. I mean, Peyton was good, but I keep wanting to. I don't know. It could either be really popular or go away really quick.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, I am 100% in unison with Bear's review. I think nailed it.
Here's the thing. If they would let Peyton do what Peyton's really good at, he's a really funny dude. Let him get funny and maybe a little bit weird. It could probably be a hit. I know Tennessee's playing Ole Miss next week on the show.
Yeah, and they got Tennessee. Okay. And that's the other thing about having Peyton there. He got Tennessee on the thing, so they're going to be on the stage a little bit.
I like the concept. I want to see it, so I'll be sure to tune in next week. All right, thank you, Rick. That is the top 4 at 4 as we broadcast live from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. They remind you, shop their inventory online, oldbenfranklinmotors.com, including their Alcoa and Oak Ridge locations. We're at the West Knoxville shop, 9711 Kingston Pike. And we've got free Smokies tickets if you want to come out here and pick up a family 4-pack of field-level seat vouchers to any Tennessee Smokies game this season. You got 2 hours to get here. We'll be here till 6 p.m. Let's go right back to the phones and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. What's up, Philly?
How you bearing, fabulous, done?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good, considering. It was a disappointing loss end to the season for the baseball Vols yesterday, but we've snapped and cleared. We've processed it, Phil. Sounds like Tony V's sticking around, and it's good times on Rocky Top.
Well, if Glenbow says it, I guess it's true then.
Glenbow, I like that.
Whatever his name is. It's almost like Glenn Gumbo down at LSU, you know?
Glenn Gumbo. man. But, yeah, I mean, he's been around for a long time and has a good reputation, so I'm going to take him at his word. And the quicker Tennessee can come to an agreement with Tony and make some sort of an announcement, the better, because I think there's still some fans who, you know, are just a little bit traumatized through everything that's happened with coaches around here for the past dozen or so years, and they want to see something official.
Is it true that Danny and Sexton aren't that close? Is that the reason why this thing's taking so long to get finalized?
I mean, that's the word. That's the word, and it seems like Randy Boyd and Donnie Plowman have been pretty active in the commitment, if you will, to Tennessee baseball this season. They've been out front and center on this, so it's really weird if you've got an athletics director who refuses to do business with the most powerful man in college athletics. And I don't know, I've heard different things about it, and we'll see. I hope it works out for him, obviously.
Yeah, I do too. But now, if we're going to have him back next year and we can get our stadium taken care of, I guess you're going to build it in stages, right? How long is it going to take, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, it sounds like. I mean, it sounds like they don't have firm plans yet. And obviously, that takes a while
to put together.
Yeah, you got to decide what you want, and then you got to design it, and then you got to bid it out. And then there's if you build it via bond through the state government, there's a whole clearance process with the state legislature that you have to go through. So, and it's not like they can just break out the crane tomorrow and get rolling on this thing. The first thing, order of business, is getting Tony Vitello locked up. And so once they do that, they can move forward with the stadium.
Are they going to have to put the amusement tax on that thing like they did Thompson Bowling Arena?
That I don't know, Philly.
I don't know either. Maybe somebody's an expert and they can let us know. But Coach Vitello had a great year, guys, but he's going to have to learn. He's learned on the job, and the way he handled his pitchers in that last game was kind of atrocious.
He's a young coach, Phil. This is his fourth year as a head coach, his first trip to Omaha. You cannot argue with the results. He's been tremendously successful, but I'm sure that's something that he thinks about.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing him a little bit is, man, what could I have done to put us in a little bit better position? I don't know that there's anything he could have done to win either of those games, but I'm sure that, you know, he's the type of guy who's secure enough that he'll look at himself in the mirror and critique himself.
Yeah. I wonder about a situation like Hundley, right, where they did take Chad Dallas out, and I wonder if maybe, you know, he's thinking back and kind of – I think, A, it shows – just the unmitigated trust that he had in Sean Hundley, especially after not so great of a start in the game before. But just to go back to that, I wonder kind of how he processes that in hindsight.
Well, how about
I wonder
this?
If he would have done anything different.
Well in the game longer. I mean,
how about this, Phil? We didn't talk about this yesterday, but Will Heflin did not pitch the last 2 weeks of the season. This guy was a rock for you as a starter. He pitched twice in the SEC tournament. Does not pitch in the Super Regional. You only play two games, okay. But he doesn't pitch again in Omaha. And I just wonder, looking back on it, man, should we have thrown him out there at some point in relief? I know they're wanting to save him for a potential third game if they make it. But that's got to be disappointing for him not to get to participate in these last two series. And then you feel like it's one of your better players that you just didn't use.
Yeah, well, I'm realistic. I think Tennessee overachieved this year, but I'm disappointed the way it ended. But in the end, I think Texas had a lot more talent than Tennessee did on a roster. You look at it player by player, they were far superior to us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait till the draft and all that stuff to be the judge of that. I think we got some nice players, Phil, and not knowing much about it, and baseball recruiting. It's not something that we follow closely here at Fan Run, but I can't imagine that with Tony's charisma and the success they had on the field this year, that that's not going to be an easy sell in recruiting going forward and something that players are going to want to be a part of.
Oh, you come play at the most hype environment in all of the SEC right now.
Yeah. Is any this true from the guy from Kentucky, the catcher, that he's from Missouri, which Tony Vitello has his ties to? You think any chance he transfers to Tennessee?
Why not? I mean, you transfer anywhere now without having to sit out.
And catcher's a big weakness on that team. It was exposed in the College World Series.
You know, I totally agree with Phil there. I think you really saw in those last two games from Tennessee. And granted, we're talking about especially Blade. He's got a long windup and a long time to get to the pitch. But, man, teams really started stealing a lot on us towards the end of the postseason.
Don't you think, though, that Pavlone was banged up?
Yes.
I mean,
it's got to be tough.
He had a broken bone in his throwing hand.
And he came back after like 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then had to go back on the shelf for a little bit. And you saw throughout the season he was wearing a special glove pad on that. I mean, that's got to be –
yeah,
it's got to be difficult. He was one of our better players, man. I have trouble jumping on him, even though obviously he struggled at times.
Yeah. Well, I agree, and I don't want to put it on Pavlone the catcher because you're right. He went through a lot, and you could tell that he was doing everything he could out there. But I do think that that's a place where I would have liked to see maybe Tennessee just adjust a little bit. I don't know everything they could have done, but maybe the pitcher speed things up a little bit. Maybe something happens because I do think that they were giving up a lot of extra bags, especially just in those last two games.
The point's well taken, though, Phil. We need a better catching situation, and I think both Greer and Pavlone are done now, so it'll be a new guy behind the plate next year.
Yeah, and I see old Collector's going to play his, where he started most of his career from, Texas. Pretty cool, you know.
How about that?
Well,
Ricky
Barnes. That's a big, impressive ball game in that SEC Big 12 shootout. I mean, good Lord, on Kentucky and Kansas.
At least we're not playing Kansas.
I mean, at least we're not running. The same Kansas team we ran out of the gym, beat their brains out last year in Thompson Bowling?
Don't worry, I'm not scared of Kansas. I'd like to see somebody different. Oh, we played them for like 3 years in a row.
Yeah, the Rick Barnes going back to Austin is a...
Oh, that's marquee.
A juicy storyline, yeah.
Well, that's a great game for TV. Are you going to send the... Fabulous out there to see his home area and then report on it. I mean, it'd be cool to see Fabulous in the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take my horse. I'm going to take my horse down there to the arena.
You and
show
the
everybody.
Horse you rode in on. Phil, we got to run. Thanks for the phone call. Quick timeout. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio coming up next as we continue live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Back with more after this. I've continues. Russell, Bear, and Rick hanging out with you. We're live today, Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, and pleased to be joined by our friend Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Russ, my man. I know you've had baseball fever, but I thought you forgot my phone number there for a while. What's going on, man?
AT, long time.
I know.
No talk.
I say it all the time.
I've been telling Bear for weeks, we got to get Aaron on. He's like, nah, I don't want to call that guy.
I love Bear. Don't throw Bear under the bus.
Aaron.
Come on. You're better than that, Russ. Don't throw Bear under the bus. He's just working hard.
Trying to.
Go ahead, Bear. Go ahead.
You're not driving a wedge between me and AT, buddy.
I know. That's messed up, Russ. It's messed up, man.
Yeah, you guys are right. It's good to hear you. Aaron, good to have you back on, my friend.
And Bear are like Danny White and Tony Vitello, best friends, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, man. That's I hope they're best friends. I don't know. We're still waiting on word down here. You know how traumatized this fan base is, Aaron. I mean, always waiting for the other shoe to drop, and he's not leaving. You're not going to leave us like Lane. You're not going to leave us like Bruce. It's not going to be another one of those situations, is it?
Excuse me, knowing nothing about college baseball, I said this actually the other day. I had a buddy on that does know college baseball, and I was talking to him a little bit about it. The only time, excuse me, that I can really remember an SEC program in a major sport, losing a coach that they wanted to keep was James Franklin at Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's Vanderbilt football, and let's be honest about, you know, that right there. And so I bring it up because I guess Lane Kiffin would be another one, but it's very few and far between. And so, you know, I know your audience is probably, you know, on pins and needles. Maybe you can explain to me better. I know that, you know, because the program hasn't been great, the facilities are a little bit behind and all that stuff. But, you know, it seems like Danny White's committed to making Vitello or however you pronounce his name, a really, you know, well-compensated guy, upgrade the facilities. Is there really a legitimate reason to leave, or is this simply Tennessee angst? I'm curious because, again, while I pretend to know college baseball on Twitter for the last 2 weeks, once I started watching the tournament, I really know nothing. And so I'm curious if there's real angst or what's going on.
Oh, there's real angst. I mean, it's definitely an angst-ridden situation for Tennessee fans. But, I mean, I think there's some truth to what you say. You know, LSU is it's a plum job. They've won a lot of national championships. They've got a 10,000-seat stadium down there. Tennessee's got about a 4,000-seat stadium that they really haven't invested in over the years. And so that's a point of contention. I wouldn't even say contention, but that's something that Vitello wants to see upgraded is, hey, look, I've got to be able to recruit here. We need a bigger stadium. We need it to look nice. We need it to be a fun experience for our fans to go to. And from all accounts, it sounds like Tennessee is bending over backwards to pay him to invest in the facilities, and they're going to get it done. But, how could Tennessee fans not be a little bit worried after everything that's happened through the years? We'll see, but it's. I tell you what, Aaron, it has been fun. I know, just talking to you through the years, you know everything this fan base has been through with its football program and even basketball. To have a season like this, and I wouldn't even call it a distraction, just a fun storyline, to a bandwagon to jump on, to embrace, and a team to get behind, really needed it because there's just not a lot of pop behind Tennessee football right now.
Well, and so dumb question, and they weren't expected to be very – what were they picked to finish, 9th or 10th in the SEC or something like that?
I don't know what the expectations were, but certainly not what it ended up being.
Sure. No, that's fair, and you're right, dude. I mean, I obviously know. I mean, we go back so long. I mean, I remember talking to you during the year when the Tennessee won the SEC regular season basketball title with Williams and Schofield and Bone and all those guys, and that was about 3 or 4 seasons ago now. And so, you know, and I remember talking to you about that then of, man, I'm just, you know, I'm happy for you guys. I'm glad you guys got something enjoyable to talk about and all that stuff. And so I definitely got some pretty similar vibes from the baseball program this year. Again, I don't follow college baseball closely enough to know, but I'm telling you, man, I got a great feeling about this Tony Vitello situation. I think you guys are good. Let's round up the dollars and cents. Let's put a couple extra seats in Lindsey Nelson, and let's rock and roll, and let's get the guys back and get ready for 21-22, okay?
That's the plan as we visit with Aaron Torres this afternoon on the show. All right, Aaron, let's talk big picture here. College sports as we know them changing by the day. If you were traveling in Doc Brown's time machine from 1980 to present day, college athletics would be virtually unrecognizable. You got millionaire coaches, players transferring multiple times throughout their careers, and now college players signing endorsement deals. What do you see as the most significant change in college athletics that's happening right now?
It's a great question, Russ. First of all, I would say I don't think you need to go back 40 years. I mean, I think you can go back like 7 or 8 years. And, you know, it was like a big deal if, like, you know, a guy every 3 years transferred. It was like, what does it mean? Dude, I'll tell you this. I remember Fred Hoiberg when he got to Iowa State about 2013 or so. It was like, he's going to build his team through transfers. What's wrong with those kids? What went wrong at the other school that they didn't stay there? And so, you know, I think the biggest change, I'll say this, is it's going to be name, image, likeness, I think, but I don't know what it's going to look like. And so until I know what it looks like, until I know what the rules are they universal? Is it conference by conference? Is it state by state? Is it school by school? You know, I don't know, right? Like, I mean, you know, I think when we all started talking name, image, likeness, we wondered, like, okay, is the next Trevor Lawrence just going to get paid $1 million over the table to go to the highest bidder, or how is it going to work? And now that we're closer, and, you know, you kind of see coaches say, look, we can't be involved. They have to come from the outside. It gets run through this program and all that stuff. You know, I just don't know what it's going to look like, which is, of course, crazy. And I know it's been a talking point here for the last couple of weeks, the idea that we have this monumental shift coming in literally a week, or I guess it's 8 days from now, and nobody has no idea what's coming. So I would say that is going to be the biggest one, but until we see it, I just don't know what to expect. And then obviously the transfer stuff, man. I mean, you know, and it's something I'm actually curious, you know, the next time whether he has an availability or I get a chance to talk to him. But like Rick Barnes, you know, I mean, having to go into the portal and get, you know, Justin Powell this year to kind of shore up his roster, losing two or three guys just because they didn't want to sit around and wait. It is rapidly changing. You mentioned the salaries. You mentioned even the facilities, right? I mean, just the you know, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's still fun when the games get played, but it just feels like there's so much noise once the game goes final. So it's a surreal world we're living in. But, you know, like everything else, I figure we'll adjust and move on accordingly, you know. Hello?
Hold on here. We got you back, Russell.
Hey, Aaron, you got
there?
Me.
I got you, Aaron. You still there, buddy?
I am. Are we live right now?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. It's all good.
We
I'm
lost
here.
Him. The boys are on remote. We lost him.
I thought I had to do the whole show the rest of my you know, I had to break down Tony Vitello's contract for the next couple hours. So I'm glad. I'm glad you're back, Russ.
What's the matter? You've never just had a sudden power outage on Fox Sports National Radio, Aaron? This is new to you. This is how we roll in Knoxville, man. You got to be ready for a curveball any moment.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, since COVID, you know, we have a lot of guys doing a lot of remote stuff. There have been plenty of, you know, mid-sentence I throw back to my co-host, and my co-host is no longer there. So I was ready to roll. We were going to break, you know, we were going to break down the Tennessee basketball depth chart. You know, how's Justin Powell's jumper, the arc of Justin Powell's jumper. We're going to do that for the next couple hours. So if you want to just take a quick 5-10, you let me know, okay?
Oh, man, I can't wait. I wish we could just skip football training camp and go straight to basketball preseason. So much anticipation around Rick Barnes's roster. And I'm sure you've seen the SEC Big 12 matchups. Rick Barnes headed back to Austin, Texas to take on the Longhorns. I mean, Aaron, you couldn't ask for a juicier storyline if you're a Tennessee fan.
Well, and I think if you're a Texas fan too, I'm really excited. I'm excited, and I'm curious. Like, I think the response will be really good, right? I mean, one, they fired him; he didn't leave. And two, you know, he did right by that program, and I think that fan base learned the hard way that, hey, you know, nothing is guaranteed to anybody here, and. You know, Rick Barnes, I forget the exact stat. I think he was there 17 years and made 16 NCAA tournaments or something like that. Or maybe it was 16 and 15, 15 and 14. I don't know. But I think that fan base kind of realizes, like, we had it pretty good with this guy while he was here. And we probably should have appreciated him more as well. And so, you know, there's some times where these guys go back. And it's interesting because, of course, Texas's coach is now Chris Beard. He changed jobs in his own conference. So we know what the hostility will be like when he goes back to Texas Tech. But I'm intrigued. I'm curious. I'm sure Coach Barnes isn't particularly excited about going back to Austin. But, you know, you talk about, you know, for people that do care about college basketball and love college basketball, you talk about kind of a fun, interesting storyline going into that game. And then, of course, oh, my goodness, if Rick Barnes goes in and wins, love to see what the Austin American Statesman, what the headline will be that Sunday morning. So.
Yeah, you know, it's not like he's a controversial figure in college basketball either. I mean, he's Uncle Rick. Everybody loves him. To know him is to love him. So I would imagine that he would be received warmly when he goes back there. But you're right. If Tennessee, and you know what the Vols have on this roster, if they roll in there and put it to Texas, things might change. What kind of team will they be encountering? What does Chris Beard have in year one at Texas?
Well, I'll tell you this, Russ, and you're going to not believe it when I say it. He's going to have his most talented roster that he has ever had as a college basketball coach. And, you know, I've made this argument, and, you know, people that follow my work religiously, if any of them are listening, I think he's going to build the next great basketball power in college sports. You know, it's never going to be Kentucky or Kansas or whatever, but, you know, Villanova, what was Villanova 7-8 years ago? What was Gonzaga 7-8 years ago? And you look at the way I put it very simply, Russ, is this, is, and I'll get into what they did this offseason in a minute, but, you know, the way I look at it is pretty simple. He was basically one defensive possession away from winning a national championship at Texas Tech. For people who don't remember, they were up three with about 20 seconds to go. Virginia ties the game. It goes to overtime. Virginia wins. I bring that up to say, if you can get within one possession of winning a national championship at a certain place and you leave a couple years later and there's no NCAA rules violations and you're not going to the NBA or just take another college job, it means that you believe that the ceiling of your next place is even higher than a place that you almost won a national championship at. And so, you know, he is going to Texas, not this season, but next season. They're opening a brand new arena. There's no way to really know this. I believe they have the most expensive staff in the country, Russ. I mean, they have two assistant coaches on their staff that were head coaches last year, that left head coaching positions to come be assistant coaches at Texas, which shows you the kind of money that they're investing into the program. And it's paid dividends. They've done really well in the transfer portal. You know, all Pac-12 guard named Timmy Allen, kid that, frankly, your audience might be familiar with, Dylan Dissu from Vanderbilt, who averaged about 15-9 last year. Vanderbilt was basically the only good player Vanderbilt had besides Scottie Pippen. And so you look at that with some returnees off of a pretty good team last year, a couple of high school kids. They're going to have a really, really, really talented roster. You know, I think it's on par with Tennessee. I don't think it's like a top two team in America or anything, but, you know, they'll be in the top 15 going into the season, really talented. And I'm just telling you, there's a lot of high school basketball talent in the state of Texas. Obviously, the transfer portal is the great equalizer, and I think he is going to get that program rolling in a big, big, big way over these next 2, 3, 4 years.
Talking with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, one or two more, we'll let you out of here. You know, it's interesting. We were talking to a friend of the show who's big into grassroots basketball in the state of Tennessee, and mm-hmm. He was telling us that the coaches he's talked to, college coaches this summer, say – they more or less are not even recruiting high school players anymore. It is all the transfer portal. And we talked earlier about changes in college sports. That, yeah, to me seems like the most profound change, is that Power 5 college basketball coaches, unless you're a top 100 player, they're recruiting other college players. I mean, we have – It really is college basketball free agency.
Well, Russ, you know what I would say is, and it's funny, I was talking to Bear, my best friend, about this during the commercial break. We were talking a little bit about the, you know, Supreme Court ruling. And one thing that I said to him is, I said, you know, we do all these rules that sound great on social media and the, you know, I hate to be cliche, but the Twitter blue check marks love them. And oh my God, it's so pro player. We have to do all these things for the players, and they have real unintended consequences. And you look at the college basketball scene right now, this is a big unintended consequence. You know, one, I know nobody feels bad for any guy making money to coach basketball, right? But the mid-majors, I don't know how they keep their players on their rosters. You know, the high-major coaches, you know, they're losing guys to the lower level because, you know, they have two or three bad games, and I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but then it's the high school scene, and you're absolutely right, is that you know, and by the way, I can't wait till you guys see Justin Powell in person next year. He is awesome, and you're going to wonder, you know, are we ever going to recruit a high school kid again? Because these kids come in, they're so mature, or they're I shouldn't say so mature, everyone's different, but in general, you're recruiting a player that has done it at the college level. There's some kind of tangible proof of what they can and cannot do at this level. They're more mature. They've lived away from home. They've lived it, you know, they've played at this level, worked in a college weight room, all that stuff, as opposed to a high school kid that's never left home, that's never played at this level. And so it's funny. I think I've told you the story before, but, you know, I remember talking to Eric Musselman, who's the coach at Arkansas now, and he was really one of the early innovators of the transfer portal when he was at Nevada. And he told me all this about 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember thinking to myself, why doesn't everybody do this? Sounds great. Why, you know, why are you going to chase an 18-year-old all over the country and go get a 21-year-old that maybe doesn't have the long-term upside? but you know it's more of a finished product. And so it's sad. I do feel bad for the parents, the high school players, like you said, those fringe players. I feel bad for the mid-majors who now basically have a choice of, do I just strictly try to recruit through the portal and hope that I get some players to bounce back down from the high major level? If I get a high school player, if he gets too good too fast, can I keep him? It is the wild, wild west out there, man. And, you know, some of these things are overrated. Some of them, you know, are over-discussed and over-talked about. I don't think this is one of them. This was one that looked great on paper 2-3 years ago when everybody with a blue check mark kept saying how unfair it was for all these kids. And now you see the consequences, and they're real. I would also add this, Russ. There are hundreds of players that left the school, left the full scholarship, and haven't been able to find anywhere to land yet since entering the portal as well. But again, these are not things that anybody talks about in real time. Everybody wants to, again, criticize, and not actually come up with a tangible solution to fix things.
Aaron, it's interesting. Before we let you out of here, man, NBA Finals for a lot of casual NBA fans like myself don't want to watch a ton of regular season games. Certainly getting into it now. You have the Suns already up 2-0 in the West before the Eastern Conference Finals even start. What are your thoughts on a potential finals matchup, and who do you like to win the trophy at the end of the year?
Yeah, obviously with what I do, I don't have a ton of time to watch the NBA regular season either, but I'll be honest, I've actually enjoyed these playoffs, and it's funny because you know who I work with on Saturday nights, the stinking genius Arnie Spanier, and you know, sometimes I think he's pulling the same shtick that he was pulling in 1981 or whatever, but, you know, he's on this big kick of, you know, nobody cares because the Lakers aren't in it. And I'm sitting here saying, I think it's the opposite. I think it's been good for Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks to emerge. I don't know how many Hawks fans you have in that region, but, you know, Devin Booker, obviously with the Kentucky ties, with the Phoenix, like, I think it's been fun to have some fresh blood, have some new guys. And listen, I don't claim to be an NBA expert, an NBA insider, but at the end of the day, you know, LeBron James isn't going to be in the NBA that much longer. Kevin Durant's 33 years old. Like, at some point, we have to start figuring out who that next wave of guys is. And so I know it's a little bit of a weird year with all the injuries and the season started late and all that stuff. But I truly believe that these NBA playoffs have been a net positive. I've enjoyed watching them. I think the games have been compelling. There's a lot of young talent. It feels like a lot of the off-the-court stuff that kind of plagued the NBA in the bubble last year hasn't been as kind of pervasive this year. And so, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm intrigued. I really have enjoyed it more than I think that I would have. If you had told me the Final Four was Atlanta, Milwaukee, Phoenix, and the Clippers, I don't know that I would have been geeked up, 6 weeks ago. But I've actually enjoyed it in real time. And like you said, Russ, I don't have a lot of time to watch in the regular season, but I have enjoyed these playoffs.
No, me too. And I think that I'm totally with you as far as a league that has, I mean, let's face it, likability issues. It's struggling with marketability, and not to have Brooklyn and the Lakers, two teams that, in my opinion, are highly unlikable. I like all four of these teams. I love the Trae Young storyline and the Hawks. I love the Giannis Antetokounmpo storyline. Love to watch Kawhi Leonard play. And the Suns have probably become the team that I'm pulling for the most here. So being able to watch these games and enjoy the teams and the storylines, I think, has actually been an exciting thing to see. So interesting to see how it all plays out. Aaron, my friend, good to hear from you again. Thanks for working through a little technical hiccup there with us. And let's not wait too long before we get you on again.
All right. Thank you very much, and looking forward to chatting soon, okay?
Yep, you too, man. Aaron Torres, at Aaron_Torres, Fox Sports Radio. You hear him right here on Fan Run.
I listen
to him all
the
evenings
time
with the stinking genius, Arnie Spanier, one of my favorites going way back in the day.
It's a great show. I really do. I really listen to it. Good stuff. I support all my friends.
What are you implying that some of us don't? Like that was
I'm
a little
backhanded.
I'm just
saying that, you know, unlike you, tries to drive a wedge between his friends. I support Aaron, and Aaron supports me, man.
So it would seem as though we uncovered a best friendship here amongst people.
A little bromance, a little bit. Aaron Torres. Okay.
Well, you'd be stay with us. Spaniard Torres and the bear. Ha!
The drive continues live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Rick has a dilemma, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to get into this coming up here in just a moment. You don't want to miss this, the hot question, when we continue on Fan Run Radio.
.com.
The drive continues. Russell Baird, Rick back with you, cruising along on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. So, Bear.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this question.
Rick Butler has a dilemma.
I'm sorry?
There's nothing better than a Rick dilemma.
So Rick is like you recently. I mean, he's let the hair go. It has been a while since he's seen a barber.
Real long time. Yeah.
Well, and I don't think my new hairstyle would really be a good look for Rick.
He's getting set to change it. He's working an appointment with a local barbershop, okay?
Okay.
And on you book your appointment online, and right. It gives you your choice of stylists. And so, and he's never been to this place.
What kind
so
of
before the show,
place,
he turns to me and says, "Which one of these names would you most trust to cut your hair?"
Hey, they got no pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just names.
Well, just give me the names, and I'll tell you who I go to.
So
wow, this is good. He's confident.
Are your three names? Steven.
No.
Lauren. And Harley.
Lauren.
That's what I say.
Yeah, I don't let dudes near my near.
Really?
No, huh?
Hold on. I got to call. I don't want to get into it with you, big guy, but we have had this conversation before on the air, and
I've always said
you're stealing my take.
No,
because
I'm not.
Say you always had a guy that cut your hair all the time.
Yeah, until he cut part of my ear off.
I would go with Lauren. It's not a sexism thing. It's just I prefer a woman's gentle touch. Always have.
It's not about a gentle touch for me per se, Rick. It's just I don't allow dudes near my throat with like any sharp objects.
Wow. Yeah, I don't really have that problem, but I can see where you're going with it. Here's my thing, right? Here's the X factor. Harley is the X factor in this situation.
Yeah.
I feel like if you want a cool haircut, you go to Harley. Although I don't know if Harley's a guy. Could be a girl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Harley is the X factor for sure.
I think I'm going to book it with Harley, although the audience does not agree.
What is at fanrunradio.com? We have already 45 votes cast on Twitter at Fox Sports Knox. Which name would you most trust to cut your hair? 72.3% of the audience is with us, Bear. They're going with Lauren.
Wow.
15.4% are going with Steven, and only 12.3% are going with Harley.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Who knew your name?
I just kind of feel like it's...
Go ahead.
I kind of feel like getting your hair cut in some ways is be a little bit intimate, you know? You're letting somebody inside your personal space. Russ likes a gentle touch.
That's why you don't go cheap with it. Yeah, that's why I don't go cheap with a haircut, because, you know, you want it to look good. It's something you got to wear every single day. So should I have to go with what the audience decides to then follow up?
I think you should. I mean, I think that it would be rude not to.
Because I'm going to do this on Friday morning. So I'll be at the show on Friday with a clean haircut.
Okay, well, I want you to do that. And then you tell Lauren that our audience selected her to cut your hair. And you can give us a full report on it later. And, hey, if Steven or Harley happen to be around – You can give us, you tell us what you feel about your decision, whether you made the right decision or maybe you feel like you should have given Steven or Harley a crack at it.
I still do feel like I should give Harley a crack at it because, again, I want a cool haircut.
No, I just feel like,
Harley's the cool one.
Harley's the guy you call when you can't afford to take your car to like a shop and you need like new brake pads. And you just take your car over to Harley's house. You think Harley's a girl?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain Lauren is. So I go with the sure thing if it were me. Are you going to a salon, Rick?
No. No, 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 no.
If you want to gamble, go for it, man. Go with Harley.
Now go with Steve. Not my hair.
Now, I would say that's the lowest of the fan run options. Yeah. So I would go to him or her, and I would say, look, we put it up to a poll. You got last, but I'm here to give you another chance. It's like one of those second chance game shows. You know what I'm talking about? Of course you do.
No.
Oh.
Hey, am I wrong? I feel like Steven's like a Vandy boy kind of name.
No. I don't, no, man, let's not go in on all the Steves out there.
There's a lot of Steves.
Oh, we got a lot of Steves.
I didn't say Steve.
We're going to upset them.
We're big with Steve.
I said Steven. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
how many Stevens probably go by Steve in some fashion?
I would say all of them, Rick, since Steve is a nickname for somebody named Steven.
Well, there you go.
I've never run into a guy named Steven and say, mind if I call you Steve? No, they're always going to say yes. Connor is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Connor.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great to hear. Rick, $100 says you're going to Gamboozes.
Wow. Well, we can't give it away for free. But that might be a safe bet.
Yeah, I'd say I don't have $100 to bet you. I do not have that.
All right, fair enough. I hear it. Okay, I have some insight, though. So I have to come to the defense of my girl Harley. She cuts my hair.
Do you know her?
She does. And yeah, dude, she cuts my hair every single time I go there.
Oh, and this is tremendous.
I have to say, I heard you guys. I know she's at the bottom of the list, so I felt like I had to, you know, call and say something. Harley is my favorite, absolute favorite. Does a dang good job. 100% recommend, Rick.
Wow. That was a stellar recommendation. I'm going to sign on the dotted line. Sign on the line right now.
You know what I love about this show?
What?
We open up the phone lines at the end of hour one. We talk about Tennessee baseball. We've got a basketball story in the news. Football season is just around the corner. And we go to the phones here at the end of the hour, and they want to talk about Rick's haircut. I love this show.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic.
Did we get a scouting report? Were we able to get a scouting report on Lauren, boys?
Or he Connor?
I give you one on Steven. He cut my hair once.
Yeah?
Only once.
Yeah, he's good. I'm not gonna belittle the poor man. I just like Harley better.
What about Lauren?
Have a great afternoon. Lauren, no, I've never, no experience.
Huh.
Have a good one.
If anybody.
Thank you.
If anybody's got a Lauren scouting report, I can't even get it out.
Call in. 865-546-8200.
Basically described Harley as a 5-star prospect.
I know.
Steven got a 3-star review. I mean, that's something the Vandy boy gets his haircut by. Lauren, we don't know.
Right now, Harley's the front runner. I'm sorry, fan run audience. I just got a stellar recommendation.
So, hold up. Now, this is going to be rather awkward.
Yeah,
you're going to sit down and say, so you come highly recommended. And they're going to be like, who? This guy who called in to a radio show that I'm on. Yes, we were talking about you.
Do you think this
radio
guy, Connor, is now going to go to them and let them know that this whole thing is unfolding?
Definitely.
And this kid is going to come in there on Friday. And that's him. Absolutely roast him because they roasted you guys.
Definitely.
This is going to be bad.
Oh, man. Stay with us. The drive continues. Rick has hour number 3's top 5 at 5 coming up next, live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. It's Fan Run Radio.